Name something that gets passed around.
A joint.
A joint.
Now, streaming live on the Marijuana Agenda.
Oh, really? What are you people? On dope?
It's time for Toker Talk Radio.
Hey, this is great, man.
The voice of the marijuana nation.
Marijuana is listed as a Schedule I drug. That is absurd.
Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's 650-534-2565.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Hey, man. Am I driving okay?
Toker Talk Radio is your chance to make your voice heard in the marijuana nation.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
Send that message with clarity that good people don't smoke marijuana.
Now let's get to Toking and Talking with your host, Russ Belville.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's Valentine's Day, 4 o'clock Pacific time, and we're getting more details on that horrific school shooting in Broward County, Florida. The latest news tells us at least 17 dead. At least 17 students, teachers, dead. It's the seventh largest mass shooting by casualty count in American history. And seven of the last 10, I believe it is, have taken place in this past decade. And of course, you look across Twitter, you look across social media feeds, you listen to our elected officials, you'll hear a lot about hope, thoughts and prayers. Offer our thoughts and prayers. We've got a lot of thoughts and prayers to offer. And thoughts and prayers obviously aren't working. Thoughts and prayers aren't stopping this from happening on a too regular basis. This is what, the 17th school shooting this year? Of course, you got to be, you know, got to get a high body count before you actually hear about it, you know, on the news. But there had been like something like 17 already this year. And, you know, this issue comes up every week or two or three. And I always, you know, bring it up here in Toker Talk Radio. And it's always a tough one because we've got a lot of people on the marijuana movement that are very strong, ardent Second Amendment supporters. But, you know, there's got to be some point. What's going to have to happen? You know, we thought that the shooting at Newtown with the sixth graders being massacred, we thought that might have done it. Didn't happen. We thought the Pulse nightclub, my God, that might have done it. But no. We thought, oh my God, the Las Vegas shooting, you know, hundreds shot might have done it. No, nothing's happened. Nothing's changed it. But I think I know what will change it. I really do. I think I know the one thing that could be done that would bring an end to these gun massacres. And it's quite simple. Stop sanitizing the footage. As I was going through the news media feeds, I was looking through some of the tweets, and one of them pointed out that it had the video attached from one of the news stations with the overhead, you know, of shaky video of the kids running out and the gunshots going off in the background. And the person noted how in 2018, how weird is it that when you have the video of this stuff, the news media censors the dirty words the kids say when they're running. Holy shit. Oh, fuck. They censor that. Not the sound of the gunfire. Folks, I think that's really hitting on something important in this thing. And that is something that I think the folks in charge, the people who want to keep the status quo, the powers that be, the Illuminati, whoever the hell you want to call them, the lesson they learned from the Vietnam War. And the lesson from the Vietnam War wasn't don't start, you know, proxy wars. It wasn't, it's ridiculous to get yourself mired down in something for which you have no exit strategy. They didn't realize the lessons they should have learned. The lesson they learned from Vietnam was don't show the pictures. That's what turned the tide in the Vietnam War was Walter Cronkite and journalists and photographers bringing pictures of horror, of bodies torn apart by a .223 round. Bodies burned, bodies mutilated, blood, explosions, death. I think if our news media started doing its job and stopped censoring the reports from these places. We might see some change. How much different do you think our gun laws might have been now if we had seen photographs of blood all over a first grade classroom in Newtown? If we'd seen brain matter of first graders sprayed across the walls, if we'd have seen contorted, lifeless bodies of children being hauled out on stretchers, how different would our laws be now? But we can sanitize it. We can euphemize it. It's just a school shooting. The school's on lockdown. We have lockdown drills. They went on lockdown. And I think we might start to see some shake up here, because now some of the other reports that I'm following have gotten clips of kids who, you know, a lot of these kids have cell phones now. And kids videoing, huddled in the classroom with the gunshots going off and looking around at their classmates, huddling, all terrorized in fear. And I think one of these days, and I'm afraid it's going to come pretty soon, one of these kids is going to live stream his own slaughter. One of these days, some kid's going to have the Facebook Live going when the gunman bursts in. And we're going to see it live. Kids dropped. Bodies exploding. Blood splattering. And will that change us? Will that cause us to re-examine? And again, for my Second Amendment friends, yeah, it's in the Constitution. And yeah, the Supreme Court has decided that it's an individual right. But should it be? Is this the inevitable cost? Because this doesn't happen anywhere else. This doesn't happen in any other country. Even in countries that have high gun ownership rates, this doesn't happen. Now, I am also sympathetic to the argument that guns don't kill people, people kill people. And if we were in a society that took care of its people, that had mental health, that had universal health care, that had homes and jobs for everyone, we'd see a lot less of this. I'm sympathetic to that argument. But what are we going to do now? What are we going to do to stop people from shooting people up now while we work on those problems? And the irony is not lost on me that all these people that on the right who tend to call for, oh, it's a mental health issue, it's not guns, it's mental health, are the same people who vote against every opportunity to provide mental health. The same kind of people that want to repeal Obamacare and its coverage for mental health. And then on the left, it can be just as a wacky debate, because you'll have people on the left talking about banning this, banning that. And we know bans are problematic at best and cause all sorts of unintended consequences at worst. What are we going to do? I don't want it to have to get to the Facebook live streamed video for us to finally do something. And we know that, like, majorities of people support some common sense reforms, like having, you know, background checks would be nice, restricting, you know, bump stocks and things like that. But we can't get anywhere because of political gridlock. Wish I had an answer for it. You know me, I'm just your friendly neighborhood intrepid marijuana journalist doing what I can. And sorry to bring everyone down and outside of the marijuana issue, but I can't, you know, I'm a human being and I can't continue the show without having to remark on what's going on here. It's a sad day in America, sad day in Florida. All right, we're going to take a break here and reset, get ourselves back into the marijuana issue. And actually, we've got another gun issue to talk about. A former NRA head saying that medical marijuana patients should have their gun rights. That's nice to hear. We're also going to hear from a sheriff in Florida. Talk about confluence of coincidences here. A sheriff in Florida who is also pushing the idea of the gateway theory. So we'll talk, we'll hear that audio and do some debunking. And then we got to our attorney general, Slingblade Hobbit, who is complaining about a Republican in Colorado who's giving him some grief. And we'll probably wrap things up with a liberal, Joe Kennedy, an alleged liberal, and his views on marijuana, which he acknowledges are out of the mainstream. So why did the Dems pick him?
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. The Marijuana Agenda Free Podcast is available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, SoundCloud, and on our Facebook page at MJ Agenda. Free video archives are available at the Radical Rust channel on YouTube. Help keep this media free by making a donation at paypal.me/radicalrus. The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
And let me be clear about marijuana. It is a potentially dangerous gateway drug that frequently leads to the use of harder drugs.
Whatever you're smoking, it's not marijuana.
This November, whether you see the words medical marijuana on your ballot or not, the issue is there. From the halls of Congress to your state capitol or city hall, politicians are already making decisions on medical marijuana policy on your behalf. This election, make sure they are representing you. Every vote is a vote for medical marijuana.
Visit votemedicalmarijuana.org today.
Looking for the 420 friendliest way to visit beautiful legal Potland, Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House.
Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb.com, City of Portland, permit number 17-159-855.
I have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Barak has sent him a package? Anybody? What is that? Sounds like a skunk. It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
Welcome back, everybody. 4:12 here, the Pacific Time Zone. Just saw a stat come across my Twitter feed. In 2018, we're averaging one school shooting every 60 hours. Yeah, folks. Every 2.5 days, there's a school shooting in America in 2018. Every 2.5 days. My God. Well, I teased that I had another gun story since we're talking about guns. This one does have to do with marijuana, though. Tom Angel out at Marijuana Moment has the story. Let medical marijuana patients have guns, former NRA head says. Federal restrictions that criminalize medical marijuana patients are causing real problems, the former president of the National Rifle Association says. Quote, the refusal of the federal government to accede to the judgment of the states on the issue has created problems for tens or even hundreds of thousands of gun owners who are being forced to either trade their Second Amendment rights for a chance to live pain-free or risk prosecution and imprisonment. Trading constitutional rights for pain relief is a choice no one should have to make, wrote David Keene, who was the NRA's president until 2013. Well, excuse me, wait a minute. You were president of the NRA through 2013. Because see, like, if you were president of the NRA till like up till 1996, then of course there would be nothing you could have done about the issue as head of the NRA. But you're telling me you were head of the NRA up through 2013 as state after state after state had medical marijuana. In fact, if I'm remembering my timeline correctly, there were lawsuits about this in numerous states. I believe Oregon, we had the lawsuit. Was it 2011 when the Winters lawsuit went to the Oregon Supreme Court about the concealed handgun licenses for the medical marijuana patients? So it's not like this issue wasn't around, David Keene. And for this, I'm going to have to issue the Bill Clinton Eric Holder Award for officials who say the right things about marijuana policy after they're no longer leaders and can do something about it. Congratulations. Well done, sir. Bravo. He continues writing, quote, since gun purchasers must sign a form swearing they are not habitual drug users, a holder of a marijuana prescription, again, recommendation, but whatever, cannot both answer the question honestly and buy a firearm today from a gun dealer anywhere in the country, end quote. And this is, of course, the ATF has most recently added more explicit instructions that says, even if marijuana is legal in your state, we can't sell you guns. So I applaud David Keene for being on the right side, a little too late that you could have done something about it. Nice that you're writing an op-ed to the Washington Times. I wonder if you're writing a personal letter to Wayne LaPierre on this issue. Of course, I know the NRA will be hunkered down for about the next 6 days. You won't hear much out of them the next few days, that's for sure. This issue of guns in America and our right to possess them, this is the frustrating thing. Like, right now, if I wanted to go buy a gun, I'm a guy, I don't have a record, right? If I wanted to go buy a gun, I could just go buy a gun. I could go to all sorts of places and just buy a gun. There's a pawn shop 8 blocks away from me. I could go buy a Glock. Just walk in and buy a Glock. I could get a gun. I could go to a gun show. Of course, I go to the pawn shop. I might be a background check. Might be a 3-day waiting period. But not if I go to a gun show. If I find a private seller, if I go on Craigslist, I can look up a guy selling guns, buy a gun. Perfectly legal. But if I want to get some Sudafed in this state, if I got a stuffy nose and want to be able to breathe so I can do this show, I can't get Sudafed unless I go see a doctor and get a prescription and go to the pharmacy and show some ID to get some damn Sudafed. And what about the medical marijuana patients? The ones who aren't in legal states, who still have to go to the state office and sign up on a form, get on a state registry, be on a database that law enforcement can check at any time, have to renew it every year, have to go back to a doctor every year for that doctor to verify, oh yeah, you're a medical marijuana patient. You're not trying to fool nobody. You're definitely sick. You definitely need weed. But we don't have that level for guns, right? Like, wouldn't it be nice if you had to show proficiency with your weapon, that you had to know how to keep it clean, have to know the basics of safe use, trigger discipline, de-escalation tactics. It'd be nice if that were quizzed every now and then, maybe every year or so. It'd be great if you had to get a psychological evaluation every year to verify that you've not gone postal, that you're not a risk to other people. These medical marijuana patients, we put limits on how many plants they can produce. We put limits on how much they can possess. Some of these states, you can only get 30 grams every 12 days or every 14 days, right? But if they want to go buy bullets, shit, you can buy as many bullets as you want. Buy a caseload of bullets. Buy a truckload of bullets. We're fine with it. Buy all the bullets you want. Buy all the guns you like. You can only have 3 mature medical marijuana plants. You can only have 3 cannabis plants. Well, I've gone all blurry. Sorry about that. You can only have 3 cannabis plants, by God. But you can't. You can have as many guns as you like. Isn't it? It just seems weird. And when it comes to this NRA story with the medical marijuana patients, you know, regardless what side you come down on the gun issue, if you think there should be more of them, less of them, more restrictions, less restrictions, wherever you're at, you got to admit that if anybody needs a gun, it's some medical marijuana patient in the Badlands, Arizona, living way the hell out in the desert because if they're within 25 miles of a dispensary, they can't grow. That's the person that needs the gun to defend themselves from someone coming out to raid them, from some rippers trying to steal their plants, home invaders that might want to do them harm. Medical marijuana patients are the ones that if anybody should be having a gun, they would be the ones, right? So, David Keene, thanks. But no thanks for your newfound advocacy. Unless you get the NRA to actually do something, to actually change its position, to actually stand for medical marijuana patients, just a bunch of hot air to me.
Is it getting chilly in here, or are you wearing an anatomically correct bra?
All right, Miss Phil Hartman talking about how ironic we're talking about gun violence, and we get a clip from a man who's cocaine-crazed wife shot him in the head with a gun. Weird how the Liebermeter works out sometimes. We're going to take a break. We'll have an anti-drug PSA, and when we come back, we're going to tear apart the Democrats for a while. At least one of them. Joe Kennedy in my sights next.
The Marijuana Agenda is a listener-supported independent podcast brought to you by Radical Russ Media, LLC. Subscribe to our VIP feed at mjagenda.com for access to our ad-free podcast segment archive. Make a one-time donation to support the Marijuana Agenda at paypal.me/radicalruss. The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Young people, many of them that get into heroin, methamphetamines, and a lot of other things, begin not only with marijuana, but by addiction.
Whatever you're smoking, it's not marijuana.
If you work in the cannabis industry, consume marijuana, or just support freedom, you need to know about breaking policy news that affects you. Marijuana Moment is the daily newsletter that helps you stay on top of all the latest and most important state, federal, and international cannabis developments. Brought to you by longtime legalization activist Tom Angel, Marijuana Moment puts a concise yet comprehensive overview of cannabis news in your inbox early every weekday morning. Wake up to Marijuana Moment and rest assured you'll be ready for the cannabis news that's driving the day. Subscribe now at marijuanamoment.net.
Now, in the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Marijuana Agenda presents this anti-drug public service announcement.
Smoking a joint, it can seem harmless. But did you know that marijuana is on average 300 to 400% stronger than it was 30 years ago? And that smoking marijuana can seriously harm a teen's developing brain. Smoking marijuana, it can damage a teen for life. Get the facts and talk with your kids about the dangers of smoking marijuana. Visit canada.ca/drug prevention. A message from the Government of Canada.
This has been an actual anti-drug public service announcement. To combat this and other drug war hysteria, listen to the Marijuana Agenda every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific at live.mjagenda.com or download the free podcast at mjagenda.com.
Hey everybody, it's Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Learn more at mjagenda.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Most of us pirates, we go on vacation to North Dakota, you know, because they've got a town called Argusville. Arr. What are you smoking there, boy?
It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
Welcome back, everyone. 24 after the hour here. And to move on to some other topics, why don't take a look at the Democratic side of the aisle, because as I've pointed out, it is imperative for 2018 that we flip the Congress. at least the House of Representatives or the Senate, one of the two, but both would be preferable, because it's increasingly clear that nothing's going to be done to restrain Donald Trump and his administration so long as Republicans have control of Congress. And I fear that if there's any reason they haven't pulled the trigger on marijuana yet, it's just because they've been bogged down, covering their ass on Russia investigation, dealing with some higher priorities like the immigration, the wall, and so forth, the tax cut that they wanted, repealing Obamacare, that going after marijuana may not be on their the top of their agenda. And they've been pretty busy and pretty left-footed when it comes to getting through some of these minefields that they've been dealing with in politics. But I fear that a 2018 midterm election will be seen by them as winning the referendum on Donald Trump. Because they've been already laying the groundwork of, well, you know, in the midterms, the president tends to do worse in the mid because the people slack off. Donald was saying this just the other day about coming to 18, the people will be complacent because they got what they want. They got the president. And then the other side turns out and it's tough for the incumbent president. So if that doesn't happen, you thought Trump was braying about electoral college victories? Oh, the biggest electoral college victory ever. Nobody's ever had a bigger electoral college victory, which was bullshit. The deck is already stacked against the Republicans, which is bullshit. You think he was crowing about that? Wait till he wins a 2018 midterm. Wait till House of Representatives and Senate remains Republican, and you'll hear, oh, they said it, you know, it never happens. It never happens. A president never keeps control of Congress in his second half of his first term. And that'll be the green light for Trump and company to step on the gas, kick up the deportations, and a crackdown on the drugs. I hate to be so cynical. I hate to be so pessimistic, but I just see... I see things, I don't know, maybe I'm seeing it like chess. I'm seeing six moves ahead here of what they're attempting to do. So as we move forward toward 2018, there's some hopeful sights. I mean, we've got Senator Booker in New Jersey, Senator Gillibrand in New York, who are co-sponsoring this legislation for marijuana. That's fantastic. We got Senator Sanders, who still might run again in 2020, and he'll have my support again if he runs, in full-throated support for legalization. But that's all 2020 talk. We need some leadership going into 2018. And unfortunately, the first spark of leadership we saw from the Democratic Party came in response to the State of the Union address. Donald Trump's first State of the Union address last month, when they brought forth Joe Kennedy III, the grandson of Robert F. Kennedy. And Joe Kennedy III is as out of step with marijuana legalization as his cousin Patrick Kennedy, the co-founder of Project Sam. He's one of just a handful of Democrats that has voted against protecting state medical marijuana laws, against protecting for CBD, all sorts of stuff. If a marijuana vote's come up, he's been against it. So why in the hell are the Democrats putting Joe Kennedy III up front to provide a response for the Democratic Party? Sure, he's a handsome guy, young, he's got name recognition being a Kennedy, but I think part of the problem with the Democratic Party is that people are like, yeah, let's move on to something new. Don't put up another Clinton. Don't put up another Kennedy. It's time to get past family dynasties and move on to something new. That's what Donald Trump tapped into, was people thinking, look, it's all Bushes and Clintons. Bushes and Clintons and Kennedys. Bushes and Clintons and Kennedys, and wanting something new. And so you bring us Joe Kennedy, who is just a recycled Project Sam drug warrior type, out of step with his own party, out of step with the majority of Americans, 60% of us now who support marijuana legalization. So I brought that to you last week. We talked a little bit about Joe Kennedy and his stand. Well, he spoke to, I forget the podcast, but he was a news program. But Joe Kennedy got asked about this, about his marijuana stand, about being out of the mainstream. And to his credit, he recognized that he is out of the mainstream.
Members of your party who were saying that you were the wrong choice to be the official Democratic response because of your position on marijuana legalization. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that kind of tell you everything you need to know about where the Democratic Party is right now?
Now, that's Politico's podcaster asking Joe Kennedy the question. I wanted to lead with that because do you hear the inherent giggling in that frame? Do you hear the lamentation of the serious political type at Politico? Well, this shows you where the Democratic Party is. They're all splintered. They're getting all wrapped up about something like marijuana. And Kennedy laughing right along with them. And I worry about this because I worry, does the Democratic Party see us as a constituency worth fighting for? A constituency worth some political capital? I don't think Joe Kennedy does. I know Joe Kennedy doesn't. Do the other Democrats? If this were an interview that was starting with, well, you know, the party's fighting over a woman's right to choose and banning abortions. You think everybody be so cavalier? Be so cavalier if we were talking about rolling back protections on gay marriage? Right, when it's any other identity, the Democrats are really quick to make sure that that coalition is heard for and represented and stood up for. But not us, not the stoners, not the pot smokers, not the people that are creating the next billion, multi-billion dollar industry in this country. So I tell you, Democrats, and I've warned this for years now, the Republican Party, the old social conservative Republican Party, is dying away, and a new breed of libertarian type of conservative Republican is being born who could give a shit about who you're sleeping with, what you're smoking, but loves money. And they're going to see this issue for what it is, a big money maker, and they're going to steal it away from you, Democrats. And when you bring forth a guy like Joe Kennedy, a guy who answers like this.
As a politician, right? Somebody that gets a whole bunch of issues thrown at them every day. I try to do my best to do the homework and learn up on those issues best I can. I'll take a position on ones that I think is right and defensible. People will disagree with it. Fine. That's the nature of the beast.
Fine. Oh, well, we just disagree. It's no big deal. And he goes on about litmus tests.
I'm not a huge fan of litmus tests just because I think we've got a broad series of issues. You might agree with somebody on one thing that doesn't necessarily disqualify them on something else.
Okay, now here's the problem, though. There is no doubt there are litmus tests in our politics. If Joe Kennedy was presenting himself as a Democrat who wanted to overturn Roe v. Wade, he would not be a Democrat. If Joe Kennedy were presenting himself as someone who wanted to overturn gay marriage and bring it one man, one woman, he'd not be a Democrat. There are just some issues, and it works the same way with Republicans too. Although these days, got evangelicals supporting Trump, so who knows what the rules are on that side. But at least on the Democratic side, there are some things that are litmus test issues. You can't be a Democrat and not be for that issue. But it remains to be seen whether marijuana legalization will be that one. And the frustrating thing is there's no reason it shouldn't be. Majorities of Americans, especially Democrats, it's well over two-thirds. Two-thirds of Democrats, two-thirds of independents support legalization, and the Republicans are split. And that's a Fox News poll, Democrats. Come on now. This is T-ball. This should be so easy. You should just be knocking this one out of the park. You should be full-throated behind it. And Kennedy even realizes the party's headed that way.
I think the party is clearly moving in that legalization direction. It might already be there.
Might. We will see. And for Kennedy, though, it's more that fear, uncertainty, and doubt. As if we don't have 9 states now and at least 5 of them that had legalization for over a couple years. As if we don't have, as Rick Steve says, a track record, as if we don't have evidence already as to what the results will be of legalization, he's still in that wait and see, we need more research, Hillary Clinton type camp.
I've got some reservations because of some of the details about, I think, process matters and the consumer protections on this matter.
Yeah, the process matters, consumer protections matter. We've worked those things out. this isn't 2013 anymore when we put out edibles and we didn't realize people would eat the whole goddamn cookie. We've figured it out. We've portioned things out. We've given more public education and information on this. That there may be missteps is not an excuse to not step. Yes, like learning to walk, a little baby's going to stumble every now and then. Colorado stumbled a couple times. Washington's still bumbling around. That's not an excuse to continue criminalizing a non-criminal activity, wasting the police resources necessary to enforce it, and leaving all that tax revenue out there for criminals instead of putting it to use in schools or public health. And it should be such an easy issue for a Democrat to get on board with.
Look, this is an important issue for folks, and they have every right and should be passionate about it and organize on it and do what they need to do to advance their position. And I totally respect that and I encourage it.
But you completely disagree with us.
I just think that a lot of this still is in flux. That's an issue where, again, the Democratic Party is certainly moving in a more progressive position on it. I think there's some safeguards there that we need to make sure we get right if that's the direction that Democrats want to go.
The safeguards, like, oh my God, if we legalized marijuana and we didn't ratchet it down as tightly as possible, why some folks might smoke it. It's not like marijuana just appeared out of the ether. Like these people that go off on, oh my God, what terrible thing will happen if we legalize, as if marijuana hasn't been widely available across the nation for decades now. As if anybody who wanted to smoke weed couldn't smoke weed if they really tried. This irrational fear that, oh my God, it's going to get commercialized. We're going to have all this epidemic of addiction. Oh my God. Whatever might come from the legal access to marijuana, even if it were more people having a dependency issue, at least those people wouldn't be criminalized and they could seek assistance. Like, what would be better? If alcohol were prohibited and it cut alcoholism down to 8%, or if alcohol is legal and alcoholism is 10%, is it worth shaving off that extra 2 points for the other 8% of alcoholics to be criminals, to be locked up, to be able to be arrested and jailed? How much safety is worth your freedom?
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Hey everybody, it's Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
The Marijuana Agenda. Like the liberal agenda, but with profits. Ka-ching.
Hi, my name is Ricky Williams.
My name is Evan Britton.
My name is Mark Costelli.
My name is Boo Williams.
My name is Jim McMahon.
My name is Chris Cluey.
My name is Kyle Turley. I played in one of the major North American football leagues.
I have 2 championship rings from that big game we play at the end of the season.
In college, I won a trophy that looks like this.
I was a punter for 8 seasons, and punters are football players too.
I also wrote the name of the commissioner on my headband, and everyone lost their shit.
The men who play American football are subject to a life of injury,
pain,
and disease,
both during and long after their careers are over.
And that's why I smoke pot.
That's why I smoke cannabis.
That's why I smoke weed. That's why I smoked weed when I played.
It has, without a doubt, reduced the amount of pain I live with.
It's my body. I know.
But for some reason, the major North American non-Canadian football league refuses to allow players to use cannabis.
Instead of allowing for safe, natural healing, the sport pushes players towards addictive, narcotic painkillers with serious side effects.
So let's get real, Roger.
Football players should be allowed to use medicinal marijuana.
Without the stigma of it being a banned substance.
Cannabis isn't a drug.
It is a medicine.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Pod 2.0. It's not your father's Woodstock weed.
It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
Welcome back, everybody. In our C block here, we've got more of the Sling Blade Hobbit, Keebler Gump himself, Attorney General Jefferson Beauregard, no regard Sessions. So this week in Washington, D.C., they had a meeting of the National Sheriffs Association. And the big story politically that came out of this was a quote from Sessions, where he described the Anglo-American heritage, or the Anglo-American history of law enforcement, right? And so this set off a whole cultural political firestorm from people, you know, on the left, who were saying, aha, see, here you go, Jeff Sessions, racist bigot, you know, notorious for his racism, once again using a racist dog whistle, Anglo-American, you know, like the white people's, you know, it's a white tradition, all pro-white. And then you got people on the other side, and even centrists, some of them, saying, oh, hold on now, don't take this too far. Anglo-American is a legitimate term to refer to, derived from England. Anglo, England, derived from our English common law, right? And then in response to that, the counter is, yeah, yeah, if it came from anybody else, sure. But you got Jeff Sessions saying it. There's a little bit of context going on there. So that was the big political hubbub that was going on in the talking head shows and such. But something got buried in that those of us in the marijuana media picked right up on. And that is, in this same speech, Sessions is complaining about Colorado Senator Cory Gardner. Now, if you've been following this story, Cory Gardner, senator from Colorado, has been blocking all Department of Justice nominees from Sessions and from the Trump administration for various posts until Sessions backs off. He did this after Sessions pulled the Cole memo, right? So Senator Gardner, a Republican, reminding you here, said, look, I'm going to block all your nominees until you back the F off of my state, Colorado's legal marijuana industry. So, you know, first of all, let's give some kudos to Senator Gardner for doing that in the first place. Thank you very much. And under the rules of the Senate, one senator can basically block the whole thing when it comes to nominations. They can put a personal block, and they don't have to give any reason. They can put a personal block on these nominations, and Gardner's doing just that. And so Slingblade Hobbit here, not too happy with that situation.
That includes we're being blocked from confirming the head of the criminal division, our civil rights division, our national security division. These are critically important components, and we've got outstanding nominees. I nominate to the national security division, the anti-terrorism division, was approved unanimously in the committee, but because sometimes, and right now, one senator's concerns over unrelated issues, like reversing federal law against marijuana, we can't even get a vote. As Attorney General, I don't have the authority to say something is legal if it's not legal. We need our nominees confirmed. Safety and security are important, and those of us who are gathered here know that protecting the safety and security of the American people is the mission.
that got clipped off there. It's the mission that we share. Speaking to the sheriffs in Washington, D.C., the National Sheriffs Association. And so not calling out Senator Gardner by name, but clearly that's who he's referring to because he's blocking the nominees over legalization of marijuana. And of course, Sessions wants to frame this in a different way, as if Gardner's telling him to reverse federal law against marijuana. He's not doing that. He's reacting to Sessions pulling the Cole memo, which directed law enforcement to spend its resources on more important priorities unless a certain set of criteria were met. And clearly by rescinding that memo, it's a sign that they don't intend to be bound by that memo. But of course, Sessions wants to spin that a different way. So Senator Gardner's office then was contacted by the Colorado Gazette, and a spokesperson relayed this comment, quote, Senator Gardner's holds on justice nominees remain in place as he and our staff continue to talk with the Department of Justice and discuss a path forward which recognizes Colorado's state's rights and ensures law enforcement has the authority and tools needed to protect our communities, said Gardner Press Secretary Casey Contras. These discussions continue to be necessary, and we appreciate their willingness to have them. Senator Gardner is also working with a bipartisan group of senators from across the political spectrum as they continue to look at ways Congress can take action to preserve states' rights. Very telling that the comment, the official comment, twice mentions states' rights, because this is an issue on which Jeff Sessions is vulnerable when you look at it from a Republican lens, as both of these communicators are Republicans, right? The Republican senator, Republican attorney general, in that Sessions is all sorts of states' rights when it's convenient for him. Yeah, Sessions is all sorts of states' rights when it's, wanting to ban gay people or not fulfill the Voting Rights Act and, you know, be able to bar black people from voting. He's all for states' rights when it comes to that kind of stuff. But if a state decides that, oh, it's not going to cooperate with federal law enforcement officials when it comes to deporting people, no, not so much states' rights there. When a state decides that, we're going to allow people with a doctor's recommendation to use marijuana for medicinal purposes, no, not so much states' rights there. So kudos to Senator Gardner's office there for attacking him in a weak area that, you know, people can see the blatant hypocrisy of the Slingblade Hobbit here. With his precious, my precious, just say no, my precious. So that's one angle on this. There's another thing that came out of this Sheriff's Association meeting that got lost in the hullabaloo over the Anglo-American comment, was after the event, one of the sheriffs, this is the president of the Major County Sheriff's Association of America, he's his name's Sheriff Grady Judd, and he's, do I have to tell you, he's from the South? that there's a Southern name, ain't it? Grady Judd. Sheriff Grady Judd from Tampa, Florida. And again, talk about the confluence of coincidences here. Talking about Florida today, right? So Grady Judd from Tampa, Florida, after the event, had a lot to say about drugs. And this goes right again to the point I've been making about laying the groundwork, laying the rhetorical groundwork for a return to the war on drugs. Now, whether it's successful, we'll see, but they're sure trying.
But it comes back to this common denominator. Every person I've ever asked that has a drug addiction problem, I would ask them intentionally, what was your drug of choice, your first drug of choice that set you on this path? Marijuana. Every time, marijuana.
There it is, the gateway drug, man. They are just beating that dead horse as much as they can. And of course, we all know how ridiculous it is. We know that what Grady Judd is not doing is asking people what was the first drug that you got started on, and people understanding that alcohol is a drug. Alcohol is the first mind-altering substance most people start on. They want to change the frame on this, right? They want to set it up so that what's going on is that marijuana isn't marijuana. It's like this priming substance, right? It's like primer. They want to, it's the tinder for the fire, right? It's not the log. That's the heroin. That's the cocaine, right? But it's the tinder that gets the fire started. They're trying to push this new wrinkle in the gateway theory. This idea that it's it starts with addiction and that you're becoming addicted to marijuana. And so you know, it's still gateway theory, but with this kind of new sort of shine to it.
So we're legalizing across this country, in the different states, the drug that starts this addiction process.
Now, we got the gateway theory laid down. Got to let people know that, okay, number one, marijuana, they're getting addicted to marijuana. It's the addiction that starts the process. It's all priming the pump. It's reprogramming the brain to want that addiction. And guess where that leads?
But the reality of it is marijuana is the drug that starts it. And fentanyl is the drug that kills you immediately. And methamphetamine and cocaine is the drug that kills you over a period of years.
There you go, folks. It starts with the marijuana. The marijuana primes you for the addiction, and it ends with the fentanyl. Boom, dead. Dead from fentanyl because you dared to smoke a joint. Now, again, are they going to be successful laying this down? And one of the responses I get to this from people is like, you know, this is ridiculous. It's reefer madness. Everyone knows it's reefer madness. Yeah, you and I know it's reefer madness. Most people know it's reefer madness. Well, obviously, 60% of America wants legalization, right? But also, a majority of people wanted Hillary Clinton to be president, too. See, they don't got to sell this to everybody. They don't even need a majority of people to believe it. Look at the Devin Nunes memo thing. You've been following this political football, right? The whole Russian collusion investigation. And the House Intelligence Committee is led by this little weasel named Devin Nunes out of California. And Congressman Nunes actually is a, you know, little buddy of the Trump administration. Actually snuck across Washington, D.C. in the dead of night to warn Trump about something that his committee was doing, right? So been a weasel the whole time. Well, so Nunes releases this memo, and this memo supposedly impugns the FBI that they had this secret agenda to take down Trump. And then Trump tweets out, it totally vindicates me. I'm totally vindicated, right? And the political classes, you know, the CNN commentators and stuff are all like, you know, this is a big dud. There's a nothing burger. There's nothing going on in this memo. It shows nothing. It's nothing, right? And indeed, probably a majority of people agree that it was nothing. But it's not the majority they were selling it to. What they're doing is constructing the gaslighting. They're constructing the little artificial reality that provides enough framework for the base to stay with them. Everything, you got to think about this. Everything the Trump administration does is about maintaining that rock solid base. That's what they need to win re-election, is that rock solid base. They believe if they can splinter off, especially with the help of Russia, splinter off the left into all these fighting little elements of Jill Stein, Bernie Sanders, mainstream Democrat, liberal Democrat, progressive Democrat. Splinter all that, divide and conquer, and they can win again with a solid base. That's who Grady Judd's talking to.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Health Cannabinoid, your ACMPR experts. Consultation services for medical cannabis. Visit healthcannabinoid.com or call 1-800-906-1383. That's www.healthcannabinoid.com or call 1-800-906-1383. Health Cannabinoid.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
It's bullshit. Like Cypress Hill cancer this year.
Learn more at MJAgenda.com. Today in the United States, 1 in 5 Americans live where adult access to cannabis is legal. Another 2 in 5 Americans live in medical marijuana states. But the government still claims there's no accepted medical use for cannabis in the United States, even after 20 years of medical marijuana in California. Huh. And they say we're the ones who can't think straight.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville is brought to you by Cannabis Kamikaze, a professional licensed producer from Canada producing 3 pounds per light. Follow Cannabis Kamikaze on Twitter at Cannabis Kamikaze. That's at Cannabis, K-A-M-I-K-A-Z, Cannabis Kamikaze.
Hello, Mr. Man. Hi. I'm working. I'm sorry. No food till this is done.
It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
Yeah, I know. I get my listeners that think I'm an alarmist about this stuff, and I probably am. It's probably much ado about nothing. Probably the Trump administration just making a bunch of noise, just saying they're going to be tough on drugs to get their base to fall in line, but not really doing anything about it. Maybe that's the case. But you got Grady Judd, the epitome of the Anglo-American history of law enforcement. Grady Judd, the sheriff of Tampa, president of the Major County Sheriff's Association, laying down the rhetoric, laying down the intellectual and ideological framework for justifying a crackdown on marijuana.
I know there are people all over this nation that go, marijuana's not any more or any less dangerous.
Well, yeah, but
I can only give you the perspective whenever I have been to an unfortunate situation and seen a child that was dead from an opioid overdose.
Opioid overdose. I know, it's tough to say. Opioid overdose. I have my share of difficulties with that combination as well, Sheriff. But this is the plan, right? They have got to find a way to slow down the acceptable spread of marijuana legalization. I don't think they can stop it. Let's just be clear. I'm in that camp as well, that I think the toothpaste out of the tube, too many young people coming up love it, have grown up with medical marijuana. It's not going to change. But I think a lot of this, and I've said this about Kevin Sabet and his minions as well, is about running out the clock. A lot of this is about running out the clock. There's no doubt marijuana is going to be legalized, right? But the idea is to run out the clock, is to be able to delay long enough for the pharmaceutical companies to get their cannabinoid preparations put in the stores, to get them through FDA approval, and to have enough time to start patenting these sorts of things. And they've already patented a lot of them. If they can get their product out to market, and they've got these patents to enforce, they might be able to have a more successful time tamping down on marijuana with it legal, but scheduled, like a Schedule II, than they did keeping it Schedule I and absolutely prohibited. Tangle us up in so much red tape and bureaucracy rather than handcuffs and imprisonment. But I'll leave you with Sheriff Grady Judd again from Tampa.
We think you have to look at all the drugs that are in this recipe. And to leave marijuana out is a horrible mistake.
Yeah, that's their theory. Now, we've got to do all we can. And if you think that I'm off my rocker and I'm alarmist about this, great. That's fantastic. That, you know, but please, at least grant me that they are making the noise, okay? Whether or not they can do anything about it, I'll accept. But at least accept that if they could, they would. That they really, really want to. And we'll see what happens.
Name something that gets passed around.
A joint.
A joint.
Now, streaming live on the Marijuana Agenda.
Oh, gnarly. What are you people? On dope?
It's time for Toker Talk Radio.
Hey, this is...
Well, I don't know why that happened. Gotta fix that hour two programming. I don't know why the Liebermeter went a little weird on me. That's all the time we got for today. Thanks for joining us for our weekly podcast now. For those of you who've wondered where I've been for a while, We're weekly now. 2 hours every week, jam-packed with more audio. I hope you're noticing more production value when I got more time to prepare.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
For everyone here at Delta 9 House, check us out at Delta9House.com and RadicalWest.com. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers. You're growing, you're trying to roll it, you're smoking, and it goes down smooth.